This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Traders on Wall Street digest the week's data as they cheer on the U.S. of A. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. We've been following the big economic news of the week, the federal government's decision to revise a key economic indicator. The Commerce Department says gross domestic product, GDP, fell about 3% in the first quarter. That is, by the way, the largest revision in more than three decades, and it's one that investors are still processing. Here to talk about that is Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Hey there, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So a lot of data this week, a lot of indicators. The biggest, I got to assume, were the GDP numbers we got.
Well, that's right. You know, and it was a second revision. So normally we don't even pay much attention at all, but this one was a stunner, huge downward revision. And boy, it's taken a few days to digest this one in the markets.
I gather there's a lot of digestion and perhaps a lot of folks watching soccer off on Wall Street over these last few days.
Well, that's right. Yeah, actually, yesterday, volume on the stock market was the lowest in weeks, and I'm blaming the USA-Germany match for that one. So today is sort of a contemplative day for traders, and people are starting already to look forward to next week's employment report. Maybe that'll settle once and for all whether the economy is actually reaccelerating here.
And let me ask you about that here at the end of the second quarter as we look forward to the second half of the year. How are things looking?
You know, it's perspective time. We've got a stock market that's up 6.5% and an economy that's essentially flat. We've priced in a whole lot of upside in the second half of the year. Not saying we can't do it, but boy, the pressure's on.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you, David.
The U.S. Marshal's Office is holding an auction today. Bitcoins, virtual currency stored on the servers of Silk Road, are for sale, about $18 million worth. And Sally Herships has more.
Auctioning off invisible virtual currency, totally just like any other U.S. Marshal's auction.
From a practical standpoint, there's no difference.
Andy Schmidt is with CEB Tower Group, a financial services research group.
You're breaking up an asset into lots to get the best possible price at auction.
But Schmidt says because this is Bitcoin and the assets to be auctioned were seized from an online drug marketplace, there's a bit more mystique and mystery. But the sale is also just business. Jaron Lukasiewicz is CEO of Coinsetter, the Bitcoin exchange.
The auction is a rare opportunity to enter the space at a great price.
Which is what Lukasiewicz says several hedge funds are hoping to do. Andy Schmidt says it's unlikely the auction will affect the price of Bitcoin. But he says a sale run by the government may have a chilling effect on potential buyers who may not wish to register their names with the U.S. Marshal's Office, especially after it accidentally leaked email addresses of parties interested in the sale. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. Thanks. Advocates for Ending Homelessness reported some good news this spring. The number of homeless people in the United States has been going down. Much of the credit goes to a strategy called Housing First. The idea is to put people in apartments without preconditions, like becoming sober or applying for work. Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Housing First cuts against a strong impulse, giving first priority to people who've done something to help themselves. We don't like giving handouts to the undeserving poor. And
who is more of a poster child for the undeserving poor than, you know, a street homeless person with alcohol and drug addiction and behavioral health problems?
That's Dennis Culhane from the University of Pennsylvania. His research showed leaving those undeserving poor people on the street was really expensive. For instance, they got sick and showed up in ERs.
And that has been the thing that's inverted the whole argument. The fact that they cost society something has now made their cause deserving.
Turns out it's also easier for people to get off drugs and get their act together when they've got a roof over their heads, which, when you put it that way, sounds like kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, doesn't it? It's kind of, duh, it sort of makes sense.
Michael Banghart runs Renaissance Social Services, which puts homeless Chicagoans in apartments, and it took him a few years to catch on. In a year-end review, he asked, who ended up homeless again? Duh, people who got kicked out for substance abuse.
So we said, that's not working. We're creating homelessness again. If we just say, you know, if you're not clean, you're going to go back to the streets.
Since 2005, the number of chronically homeless people nationwide has fallen almost in half. Pinpointing chronic homelessness numbers for Chicago is difficult, but the city almost doubled the number of permanent supportive housing units over a recent 10-year period. Like many cities, Chicago now gives first priority to the most vulnerable people, homeless long-term, mentally ill, addicted. But it still takes initiative to get housed, paperwork and months of periodic meetings with doctors and caseworkers to document your eligibility. So Mark Scrimenti got an apartment through Renaissance, but some of his friends are still sleeping in the park.
I can give them information, and they're like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. But then when wintertime comes, and they're all like, you know, underneath their blankets shaking, you know. I don't.
In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman from Marketplace.
And finally, a few months ago, we learned Americans had begun naming their kids after characters from the HBO show Game of Thrones. Well, according to a new study, Brits are naming their daughters after Elsa from the movie Frozen. Apparently, this is something that happens after every Disney movie, although I myself have yet to meet a Mulan. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.